The Laws of the Skies
by Grégoire Courtois. This is a Coach House Books audiobook. Read for you by Daniel Matmore. Part 1. The mums and the dads had said goodbye to them through the school bus windows. Some of the children were crying as they waved goodbye, and others were chattering with each other as if they had never had parents. It was the first time any of them would be away from their home, their bed and their blankie. Some of the parents were emotional, sending such young children away from their families, they thought, even well supervised. Even just a handful of kilometers from home was a big risk, maybe even traumatizing. But worried though they were, the parents weren't going to go so far as to keep their children home from camp, weren't going to let others go while keeping their own precious offspring safe and sound, afraid they would miss out on memories and experiences that the group was going to have and would show off like shiny jewels. So they all left, the 12 children from the grade 1 class of the Clancy Primary School in Yon, accompanied by their teacher, Frédéric Brun, who all the children called Fred, Sandré Remy, Jade Remy's mother, and Nathalie Amsel, Hugo Amsel's mother. The bus pulled away along the village road, and the parents' long shadows shrunk behind the condensation-covered windows. And there you have it. The children were on their way. They would never return. The lightly wooden planes to the south of Yon start to blister and crack as you approach the Morvan mountain range. The carpet of green is dotted with taller and taller trees, and small rocks grow larger and larger until they split the earth and lift the ground. Very soon, as you continue south, past Velay, the landscape becomes a curtain of tall trees and chaotic topography that strangle contour lines. In the undergrowth running alongside the bus's route, you can detect the presence of more and more wild animals, deer, foxes, buzzards, but the unruly, excited, noisy children were not concerned by them, had not listened to Fred's insightful explanations, and kept laughing, talking, singing, kicking each other under the seats. "Frederick, I don't know how you don't have a headache every night when you get home," Sandré Remy said. "Ah, they're excited about the trip," the teacher said. "They're not always this rowdy." He smiled, but his smile appeared frozen in worry rather than natural when he looked at Natalie Amsel. "Are you okay, Natalie?" he asked. "Oh, I'm okay," Natalie said. "My stomach is just a bit upset. Something I ate didn't agree with me, I guess." Sandré Remy saw the look exchanged between Natalie and Frederick, and in the space of an instant, the furtive thought crossed her mind that there might be something between the two of them, something beyond the cordial relationship expected between parents and teachers. Was she the foil for a class trip whose sole purpose was to indulge the desires of lovers having an extramarital affair? The mere shadow of this idea made her slump scowling in her seat, hoping her hunch would be quickly proven wrong. "I'm going to park over there on the shoulder," the driver said. "The dirt road is just 100 meters away, and if I head down it, we might get stuck in the mud." "Okay," Fred said, putting on his backpack. Then turning, he said, "Okay, kids, this is it. I want you to put all your trash in the trash bags and don't forget anything. Another bus will be picking us up, so take a good look around." The bus stopped, and the children's clamour filled up the space, a terrible racket that went straight through the head of Sandra René, who, wide-eyed, was horrified at the idea that the trip had just started, and already she had the burning desire to
Sample complete. Ready to continue?